I recently read a couple of wonderful travel books, which is something I rarely read, you know, going into the Congo, down the Amazon. They're very good writers. They made the mosquitoes vivid. That's great storytelling.
Well, yeah, I like good travel writing, I think, for the same reason that I like good historical fiction. It's a way to go someplace that may be downright dangerous safely. It's a way to smell the smells and have all the colors and have the thrill, the adrenaline rush of all that stuff, but you're not jeopardizing your mortal body.
I think for me the best stories, it doesn't matter whether they're wild adventures or just some little thing that happened in the kitchen, it's not just the teller telling what happened, but rethinking what happened, struggling with understanding what happened, changing the perspective.
Changing perspective. You know, this show has given us some interesting challenges to find stories that all fit together but all add up to exactly an hour. So once in a while, like now, it's suddenly, whoops, we need to put something in here that's 9 minutes and 28 seconds. Then you start rummaging for stories, and you find those stories in the vast yard sale of your life. So for some reason, here is Conrad thinking for 9 minutes and 28 seconds about Big Lake.
This is about desire. At the age of 11, everything is about desire. It still is. This was my hike around Big Lake. What you need to know about Big Lake is that it was a big lake by the Clay Bluffs to the north of Council Bluffs, Iowa. The Bluffs gave the name to the town. There was a council on the Bluffs between the Potawatomis and the Whiteskins, and the Potawatomis neglected to kill the Whiteskins, hence the town of Council Bluffs. And what you need to know about me, I was the only child of a single mom. I was a very ordinary kid. I got all A's, but my friends didn't know that. I wasn't good at sports, but not bad. When I came up to bat, nobody did gag reflexes. I was in Cub Scouts. I was great Cub Scout. You did all these requirements, and they gave you arrow points, and I had arrow points down the front of my shirt, down to my shirt tail, under my pants. I had so many arrow points. My mom was very proud, and I survived that. Then at 11, I graduated from Cub Scouts to Boy Scouts. The Boy Scout troop met in the basement of the Presbyterian Church, Troop 9. First night, I went down to the basement. There were all these big kids. It was freaky, really exciting, but scary. I mean, they were 12 and 13 and 14, and they knew stuff that you didn't know, and you didn't know what it was you didn't know, but you knew that they knew it. So the Boy Scouts is organized like the Army. Like the Army has platoons with squads, the Scouts had a troop with patrols, and I was chosen for the Panther Patrol. Wow. The Panther Patrol was the best patrol, according to them. But yeah, there was a kind of gung-ho, we'll tie knots in anything kind of thing. So that night I came home. I was in the Panther Patrol with a problem. They were going on a bicycle hike that weekend to Big Lake, and I could go along. But my mom would say no. I knew it. If you found out on Tuesday night that next Saturday you could sit in on the president's inner circle and you'd get a great dinner and then you'd learn all the secrets they couldn't tell the American people, but you were special and doors would open on a world you'd never dreamed. That, my friends, was Big Lake. Now, my mom was not overprotective. At the age of 5, I stayed at home alone by myself because the only available babysitter was a drunk. And I'd be off hours and hours on my bike and down into canyons on my grandparents' farm. But a bicycle hike with strangers around a lake just didn't set right. So we went at it. We fought on Wednesday, we fought on Thursday, we fought on Friday. You're not going out there, you don't know those kids, you don't know the way. What if you get lost? What if it rains? What if you fall in the lake? What if you this? What if you that? Run into tramps and hobos and crazy people. You got plenty of years to do that. You got your whole life, and on and on and on. And every point I dispelled with thunderous logic that was just, well, tall cow, flat rock. Then I discovered a tactic. You know, you're on a freeway and you want to cut over to the right-hand lane and you signal, but the car next to you won't let you in. And you try to push faster and they go faster. You push faster, they go faster. And then you give up. Amazing thing. They slow down and let you right in. It almost never fails. Lay on your back, stick your feet in the air, say you win, and suddenly they're nice. Okay, that's cool. Go ahead. It's all in the winning. So the tactic of giving up, losing willfully. Women are better at this. They've had more practice. But we are mastering the technology. I gave up. I was the saddest, most passive, pathetic little son alive. And she couldn't stand it. Okay, if it's good weather, if it's not going to rain, what time do you have to get up? 6 o'clock. Okay, we'll see. So I got my bike tires pumped up, I got my pack ready, lunch packed, and even though there was rain predicted, it couldn't rain. There was no way. This was my manhood. Saturday morning, I woke up. It was raining. It wasn't raining. It wasn't raining hard, just a little mist. Those big drops were from the trees. My mother didn't pursue it. I knew she'd spend the day worrying herself to death. That's her problem. My destiny is the Panther Patrol. So I rode off and we met at the church or Vernon's house, I can't remember, and then we set out north to Big Lake, maybe 5 miles. And once in a while some rain and getting kind of wet, but it felt so good to be out way, way early in the morning, seeing the sun creep up behind the clouds and a whole new world, the whole world washed clear. 11 years old, with kids who had chosen me to be part of a gang. We got to the area as far as cars could go. The idea then was go clear around the other side of the lake on the trails. And Vernon said once on the other side, once they were over there, and a guy and a girl were over there, and they snuck up on him, and they could see him doing it. I didn't know what you did if you were doing it, but it seemed like doing it was something pretty terrible and very, very exciting. So we started along the trail. The lake was all reeds and swamp, and sometimes you could ride on the trail, but then you'd hit big roots or up a steep cliff, so we were on our bikes and off our bikes and getting a little wet, but no big deal. I don't think we talked much. We were focused on the distant shore at the dawn of time. Then it started to rain. A definite rain. Then it was harder. It was like the schoolyard bully pushing his thumb into your bicep. You feel that? Then harder. Feel that? How about that? And we were wet. Then we were soaked. We could stop under a big tree for a while, but it came through the leaves, and we weren't getting anywhere, so we'd go on into the torrent. I think we had raincoats, but that didn't help because your pants legs got soaked in water running down your collar and the mud. We kept heading to the other side of the lake. I mean, it took us a while before we questioned the wisdom. It was like manifest destiny or fight communism or will America persevere? Yes, America will persevere. Up to a point. And then we came to a stop and turned around. Like a flock of ducks, nobody really leading, just all the protoplasm that's present forms one dim single mind and flies off in a mighty quack. And starting back, I realized that, yeah, actually, I don't need to get to the other side of the lake this particular Saturday. I've got my whole life to sneak up and see 'em doing it. And in this weather, they're probably not doing it. So we started back in the mud. The bluffs were clay. The mud wasn't mud. It was superglue. We're pushing our bikes through the mud. Mud clings onto the tires and jams up under the fenders. Scrape it out so the wheels turn a dozen yards and they jam. Then you're carrying your bike and slipping down the banks and scrambling up the banks. And you're not wearing shoes. You're wearing great gobs of mud at the end of your legs. And how to persuade your legs to keep lurching onward. I don't know how long it was. Felt like hours. Maybe a half mile back to the parking lot and the end of the mud and that glorious expanse of asphalt. I don't remember how I got home. I just rode back, I guess. My mother, I don't remember anything she said. I don't think it was a big "I told you so." I don't know. I don't remember the end of the story. Because it's not ended. I'm still on that hike around the lake. I still want to get there. Sure, now I know what that guy and that gal are doing, but I want to know what they're saying. And their dreams. And then what happens the rest of their lives.
That was Conrad Bishop in Big Lake.
It's all true. And we'd like to hear your stories. If you think of something that might be good for the show, email us info@hitching.org and tell us a little bit about it.
Or enter our monthly story contest. Go to our website, www.hitching.org, for the details. But basically, write 500 words or less, and we give you a new topic each month, and you can win a CD and be posted on the site. For next month,
Judgment. What trips have you taken to Judgment? To court, to the final exam, to the job interview, down the hall to the principal's office. That's www.hitching.org and look for Story Contest.
And if you do, you'll discover our new website.
Yes.
It's been entirely redesigned. And all of our shows, and you can preview our CD anthologies. But you can also read about our working process and the story contest and schedules. And pretty soon, we'll have a discussion forum. It's not ready yet, but everything else is working.
Next month.
Our show will be Lawbreakers. Three people whose journeys have brought them into conflict with their nation's legal statutes.
Hitchhiking Off the Map is produced by the Independent Eye. We've just received new support, $10,000 from the National Endowment for the Arts, and that means we have to match it dollar for dollar. So in the coming months, we're giving a series of hitchhikers' house parties as fundraisers with some of our live performance and socializing and partying. If you'd like an invitation to one near you, or even better, if you'd like to bring us live and breathing into your living room and invite your friends, as long as you've got a room that can squeeze 15 or 20 people in, why email us info@hitching.org. We are working hard to keep this happening. And think about supporting the show by joining the Hitchhikers Guild. Visit our website once again, www.hitching.org.
So join us. This is Elizabeth Fuller.
And Conrad Bishop. Peace and joy. Oh, and this is what I wanted to say earlier about stories, what they do, and why we tell them. Only I didn't say it. Marcel Proust wrote it. The voyage of discovery is not in seeking new landscapes, but in having new eyes. So may we all have new eyes this month.